First, to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I've enjoyed this morning's service, and I'll try not to keep us too late this morning. I know that we're going to be limited on time, especially with the singing this afternoon. And this week, as I struggled over what to preach, I knew I had preached a Christmas sermon several years ago at another church and not here. And I thought about bringing those notes out and preaching it this morning, but I didn't feel led to go that direction, and it seemed like it was better saved for next Sunday than this Sunday to have a message on the birth of Christ. And my thoughts were instead taken to Psalm chapter 78. I'd like to read the first number of verses. And after Clyde started showing, talking there at the end of his talk about not needing to go to Bangladesh to do God's work, those thoughts fit a lot more than after the Sunday school devotion. I felt like maybe I was led to the wrong place. But we all have a work to do, and the title of this morning's message is Showing to the Generation to Come. Showing to the Generation to Come. That's what I'd like to look at. And if I don't get done, we'll just finish it some other time. Psalm chapter 78. Now, this psalm is a story of what happened in Israel's history, and I don't plan on reading all of that. I just want to read the first 8 verses. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have known, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told to us. I'd like to emphasize the next couple of verses. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, I studied these verses, and I was led more and more into a message that focused more on child training and child rearing generations to come. But as I thought about it, the principles that we look at are basically the same, whether we are raising our children or whether we are trying to reach out to the lost. A lot of those things are the same. Some of the very same teaching that we have to teach our children are things that the lost have to learn in order for them to come to Christ. And more specifically, coming to grips with their own will and surrendering that will to God. But I'd like to just pick out a few things in these verses. Verse 4. Some of the things that we are to show to the generations to come, whether they are our biological children or whether they are our other ones that we bring into the faith. He first mentions the praises of the Lord. Something that we need to show, the praises of the Lord. And we don't just tell them to go read the Bible and see what they are. We're going to live a life that praises God, and that's how we're going to show them. Also, his strength. How do the generations to come see God's strength? They see it through difficulties that come into our lives, and then us relying on God for strength. And then they also see his wonderful works. And that's what we see in this, the lives of the children of Israel. When they relied on their own strength, they failed. When they relied on God's strength, he showed them many miracles. And that's how we show it to our children. He says that we are share the law with our children. Now, we know he was talking about the Old Testament law. But there are commandments that we are taught today in the New Testament, that we are to share with our children. And what's the purpose of all this? Verse 7. The purpose of all this is that our children will set their hope in God, that they will not forget the works of God, but they will keep his commandments. This is the purpose. This is the purpose of reaching out to the lost. This is the purpose of reaching out to our children, is to help them develop a relationship with God that we can let go after a while and they can move on. And we do that with seeking souls as well. We don't be their, we're not their father all their life. We're only their father for a period of time. And we teach them, and then they move on. And oftentimes they learn more than we know and excel us in many ways. It's either that or it's verse 8. It's one or the other. Either we're going to teach them the mercies of God and to hide them in their hearts, or they're going to be a generation that rises up stubborn and rebellious. And we live in a world that is increasingly confused and confusing. Both. The world is confused, and as we look to them for help, it's confusing because the studies every couple years, well, not even every couple years, it can go that way in cycles, but there's studies coming out all the time that they're doing on people and on things and on, yeah, how man operates, and it's changing. Every few years it's changing. First it's good for you, then it's bad for you. It's hard to understand. You hardly even want to repeat some of the studies that you read sometimes because you wonder about their accuracy and whether they really knew what they were talking about or not. Because some of those old rules that you heard that you began to live your life by, after a while they tell you that you're wrong. And that's why we need to cling to the Bible this morning, cling to the Word of God this morning, because if we promote it, we won't be wrong. We will not be wrong. We will always be right. And the purpose of teaching, the purpose of training other individuals is to give them a good start in discerning between right and wrong. And that's why we train our children. It is our responsibility. We are the generation that needs to stand up and do some teaching. That's us. And we can't just go on the teaching that our fathers gave to us. We value it, we appreciate it, but we have to dig into the Word as well and pass it on. Because many of our children won't know our parents all that well. My grandfather, I knew somewhat, but some of my younger siblings hardly knew him at all. And my father couldn't just say, listen to grandfather, he's dead and gone. He had to be a teacher. He had to pass it on. And we do as well. Just want to emphasize the fact that we should be busy. Now, it is our responsibility, but it's first God's work. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So unless we are laborers together with God, we're in the yoke with Christ, and we're doing it His way, our way will not prosper. And if we are, we can be confident that we will be on the right way because God will work in our heart. He'll bring it to us. The question is, are we talking to God about it? Is this something we are praying about? Is this something we are trying to work with God in? Or is this something that we are just plowing along and hoping we do it right? Let's make sure that we are praying about it, are talking to God about it. I didn't realize when I studied this message, I studied it more for the purpose of talking about child training, and I wasn't even sure why I was led there. There's so many things that relate to that child training as well as personal evangelism, raising up spiritual children. And another thought that I pondered over for a while was that child training is not a destination. It's not somewhere that you get to, and now we've got it done. We're here. We've tried the last couple years. It's been how many years since we were married, and we've had several now. Now we have to figure it out. It's not a destination. It's a journey. It's a process. And it's something that is constantly changing. And about the time we think we have one stage of life figured out, the next one's at us. And that's probably why older men don't teach on it as much anymore. When younger men look at the ideals and keep on trying. But child training is not a destination. It's a journey. It's a process. And right along with that, I like to say that I don't feel so badly when I see children misbehaving as I do when I see parents that do not react to it in any way, just ignore it. The greater dilemma is when parents ignore bad behavior than when children misbehave. Because one of the foundational understandings that we have to understand, and we've talked about it in Sunday school just a little bit. That's why my ears perked up when Sonny asked that question. That every child is born with an evil nature. And no matter how cute they are, no matter how special they are to us, if we leave them to themselves, if we capitalize on that and talk about how cute that is and take lots of pictures of it, and, you know, it's not good for the children. They will self-destruct if we leave them to themselves. Romans chapter 3. And this is one of those things that we have to teach people. Go ahead and turn down. I want to read a couple verses. It's in our children. It's in any person that has not, well, it's in all of us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Well, we could read verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have been proved both Jews and Gentiles that we are all under sin, no matter who we are, what nationality we are. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then it goes on more to say that the things that we do that are wrong, all of us here struggle with that evil nature and doing wrong. And our children do as well. And if we don't take our responsibilities seriously, our children will end up eternally separated from God. And our sister talked about the people that she saw that she knew she never could reach. And I remember the same feeling. And we went down to Mexico a number of years ago and drove many, many miles and saw hardly anybody and suddenly came upon a city of several million. And you looked at it spread out upon you and, I mean, in front of you, and then you walked the streets and met these people and you realize there's probably nothing you can do. Well, you know what? There are people that we are responsible this morning, that we work with every week, and children that we have sitting beside us this morning that we are responsible for and we can do something about. And if we raise them right, they can go and reach more people. And this thing can grow and grow and grow and grow. And the generations to come will not forget the works of God. So the primary responsibility, who is primarily responsible for raising a child? That is the parent. The parent is primarily responsible. It's not the grandma's responsibility. Grandmas are despoiled. It's not the sibling's responsibility. It's not the school teacher's responsibility to train. There's some things that training that goes on at school, and it's okay. It's good. But it's not the school teacher's primary responsibility. And it's not the pastor. It's not his responsibility to train the children. It's the parent's responsibility to train the children. And it's not the officer of the law. There's a lot of people that are letting it up to police officers today to train their children. We saw that again this week at quite an experience, and that would take another half hour to tell all about that. What happens when children aren't trained? And then they have to steal to make a living for themselves. I wanted to talk a little while about the verse from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and I read it to you. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'd like to just talk about nurture for a while. And I never really thought about it before, but I found that whenever Titus chapter 2, when I was studying, and it looked at me in a different, stood out to me in a different way. Titus chapter 2, so many times we talk about fathers and their responsibilities, but it gives such a beautiful picture of women and their responsibilities as well, and what the home can be in these verses. And we sometimes look at it, and it's almost like we're telling the young women what they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to be. But I think here we just see a picture of what home life can be like when we take our place in nurture. He says here that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, if you have a picture like that, where you have a young mother or a mother that's taking her place, that is sober, that loves her husband, that loves her children, to keep her at home, does all these good things, how are those children going to turn out? How are those children going to turn out? And if you have a father that acts the same way, takes his responsibilities in providing for the family, and yet being at home when he needs to be, taking responsibility and training the children, helping them to be obedient, teaching them about God, taking them to church, what kind of home life is that? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the way God intended it to be? It just seems to me a picture of parents that have accepted their lot in life, and they've chosen to love the people that God has brought into their life, these little children. They've chosen to love them, choose to care for them, and that goes a long way in showing to the generation to come. Am I choosing to accept the needs of the family that God has given to me? Everyone will have needs. I don't know that we have a lot of children with special needs in here this morning, Down syndrome or cripples or things like that this morning, but every child will have needs, and each child in our family has needs. I think we all know that. And we don't need to be bitter about the fact that they don't behave right for us all the time, but we need to accept them, that they are human and they will have faults, and it's okay. But we need to work with them. And it's so much of a task of surrendering our will to God's will. And God asks us to take care of these children that he's given to us, but we need to accept that. There can be a lot of tension in the home when parents do not accept the place that God has put them or accept the children that God has given them, and they feel it is wrong. But it's up to us to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. And this principle of surrender to God is true in so many other areas of our life. And maybe we think we have it down pat in the home. We love our children. We love our family. Maybe we're proud of them. But we're not surrendering other areas of life, our life, to God. Our children are going to see that as well. There's some verses in Proverbs 4 that kind of give that same picture. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, kind of give another picture. It looks about like this. I just thought it was worth sharing. He says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." And there you have parents that love their children. You can just see it. He said, "I was my father's son." In other words, that speaks of a relationship that the child had with the father. He knew that he was his father's son, his father cared about him, and he knew that he was tender and only beloved in the sight of his mother. And then verse 4, to us men, father, he specifically remembered his father's teaching. He said, "He taught me also, not just my mother." I hope we're not letting too much of that responsibility up to them. But this verse talks about one of the main ingredients of successful child training, and that is love. And one of the main ingredients of reaching the lost, and that is love. Going out and reaching out, raising up spiritual family, children, is love. Giving them an environment where they open up and they care and they want to change. That's how we reach the lost. Every child is a wanted child. Every child is a gift from God. No child will be perfect, but every child will be loved. And we will make them feel like they're a valuable asset in our family. And we pray for them, they hear us pray for them, and we care about them. And it's that way with the lost. Sometimes we wonder why God brings the people into our life that he does. Maybe they have some faults. Why do we get the needy ones? Well, because they need love, and they will open up to it. Let's reach out to them. Second Timothy 3:15, Timothy, he says here, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." It says he knew it from a child. He knew the holy scriptures from a child. How did he know the holy scriptures from a child? Did he learn to read when he was a child and someone gave him a Bible? I think that may have been true. But it was much more than that. Someone invested time. Time they could have been using to do many other things. A lot of projects that young mothers like to work on. A lot of neat things they can show each other. Especially this time of year, you see Christmas gifts and stuff they like to make for other people. You know, that's okay. But are we spending time investing in children? Something that will never pass away. All these neat little things that we make out of whatever for gifts and all that, they eventually burn up. Yes, they can show our love, but our children want our love more than they want these things. And then to us fathers as well. And this is a challenge to myself, to make sure that we have the time for daily family devotions. That's when we're going to do a lot of teaching. We're going to do a lot outside that. But if we specifically read the Word of God with our family, that's important. Seems like there's a certain lifestyle that we're expected to live today, and so it takes special challenges to be able to fit it in with that. I'm going to have to skip over a few things here. I really wanted to just read a number of verses especially from Proverbs, and thinking about the second part of that verse where he talks about admonition, weeding out the bad. And this admonition, we need to teach our children right from wrong. And God said of Abraham that he knew him, that he would command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And I thought about that for a while. And how are we measuring up in our admonition? And there's a certain amount of that that goes along with soul winning as well, admonition, showing right from wrong. But how consistent are we on training our children and showing them that actions have consequences? All actions have consequences. They're going to either be good consequences or evil consequences for our actions. And we have to start from very little, from them throwing themselves about on our lap, or we tell them to come and they turn and run the other way. All those things, they have to have consequences just when they're very little, so that as they grow up, they'll understand their actions and consequences between them and God, what that's going to do in their life. If they learn to discipline themselves when they are little, they will discipline themselves when they meet God. I'll just read down through a number of them. The language that we read in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If you spare, you hate. If you don't discipline, it's equal to hating your child. There are many different types of discipline. Here he mentions the rod. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Child is sorry he did wrong. He still needs discipline. He still needs discipline, even if he's sorry. That's what this verse teaches. And we need to administer discipline while we can, because actions have consequences. I need to learn that connection. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness. A lot of different definitions of foolishness. And maybe sometimes we think it's cute, but it's foolish, and it needs to be corrected. 23:13, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. And this is not talking about abuse. It's probably a change of words in our English language. And this was never, abuse never goes along with love. It's always with love. He says nurture and admonition. He doesn't say just admonition. He says nurture and. Equal amounts of love and discipline. And if we love our child, we won't hurt them in any kind of wrongful way, but we will discipline them. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You wonder sometimes, I do, who is going to be in our children that don't respond to the truth? It seems like every generation there's children that don't respond to the truth. What children in this generation will not respond rightly to the truth? It's going to be children. Many children who do not receive discipline will not respond rightly to the truth. I know that's not entirely true because I had a good friend of mine who lived in a home that was not disciplined, was not very well at all administered. And most of the family did not turn out. And this young man made choices and turned out very well. And you would probably know him if I gave you his name. But children, we should not expect children left to themselves to turn out well for the other people to make up for where we let them down. Let's not let them down. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight to thy soul. Children need to know these boundaries in their life. When we correct them, they give us rest. It's so much nicer when they sit still on our lap than when they wiggle all around, isn't it? Isn't it so much nicer they give us rest? It's nicer when the child can play quietly by themselves than when they're constantly getting into trouble. The way to get from the one place to the other is to discipline. They need to have their will broken, and that simply means surrender. And I already said earlier, it shows up at a very early age, but children need to be made to listen, even before they're a year old, when they throw themselves around. I didn't say you spank them before they're a year old. I said you make them listen. There's many different ways to make them listen. Holding them tight, snapping their fingers, taking them away. And we need to be consistent in it. I remember Jeff Jarman saying he wished that as a parent he could be as consistent as the black wood stove that they used to have in their home. Very consistent. It's always hot. It always gives the same answer. When a child touched it, he always knew what kind of... Well, you soon learned. You learned because it was consistent. And parents, if we can be consistent, our children will learn better. They will learn more quickly. How much toleration do we have? Do they have to obey as soon as they're told? Can it go a little while? Do they reason with us? And I especially want to plead with us that we don't reason a lot with our children, especially when they're young, that we make them listen simply because we said so. And there is a place of teaching them the reasons why as they grow older. But they have to learn that they must listen because the parent said so. Because that's what God does. So many times God does not tell us the reason why he brings things into our life. Later on we understand. Later on we know the reason. But initially God says, I'm giving you this and you need to accept it. And if we accept it, we grow. If we don't, we fall. And if we accept it, after a while we understand. We need to do that, mirror that same discipline in our children. We can also learn a lesson from God. In Job chapter 5, verse 17, I wrote these verses down, I'll just read them. In Job chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, he says here, Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening or the discipline of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven, there shall no evil touch thee. He's saying, look at how God works. God hurts, and then he heals. He brings discipline, and then he brings rest. And that's so often the way that it works in our own children. We have to bring them up against something, and it's painful, and sometimes as parents, we don't want to do it. But we have to do it so that they understand the consequences of doing wrong. We have to do it to help clear their conscience. And then after discipline, there's love. There's always love. There's always a hug. Always, do you understand why? Always looking out for their good. That's the way God works, and it's so beautiful. Well, there's a number of more things we could have shared this morning. Let me just read you one more verse. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. And this is true whether it's our own children, this is true whether it's people that do not know Christ that we are trying to reach. And we walk in our integrity, we reach out to them in love, and we show them God. They will be blessed after us. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you. Our kind Father in heaven, we pause before you, Lord. We thank you for your love and your kindness to us. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word that teaches us of who you are and how you desire to have a relationship with each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing discipline into our lives to teach us of the sin that's in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for bringing discipline in our lives to teach us of the consequences of sin. And Father, this morning I pray that you'd help each one of us to have our hearts cleansed by your blood, cleaned of our evil ways, and made to know your ways. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in the responsibilities that you have given us as we reach out to our children, Lord, that we could show them your ways, that we could maybe be as perfect as you, try to be as perfect as you in our child rearing, in our child training, that the generation to come would know you, that there would always be a faithful people upon this earth that would be proclaiming the light and the truth to those who would like to hear it. Father, help us not to give up because times are changing, because what we thought was right, the world is teaching is wrong. But help us, Lord, to cling to the Bible and the truths that we find in it, and to be willing to stand by it and proclaim it, even as sin is excused in so many areas of our lives today. So bless us, Lord, and make us a blessing. Pray that you too bless the Christmas caroling this afternoon. Pray that you bless each one that is going with a voice that can sing. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to look for souls that are hurting and to be able to speak a word of encouragement. So go with us, Lord, and make us a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.